Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A difficult text on a day where I see an awful lot of smiles in the congregation, but one that does need to be addressed. It's been a long time since I started a sermon by reading something, but I felt it important to get the facts straight, make sure that I am speaking accurately. For the most part, what I'm going to read you, I will be paraphrasing. Desmond Thomas Doss. Now, I'm not going to embarrass myself by asking how many people in this congregation know who this gentleman is, because I didn't know up until a month ago. But here's a little bit about Desmond Thomas Doss. Born on February 7th, 1919, passed away into the Lord's hands March 23rd, 2006. He served in the United States Army during World War II. He was twice awarded the Bronze Star for actions in Guam and the Philippines. Doss further distinguished himself in battle, in the Battle of Okinawa, by saving 75 men, becoming the only conscientious objector to receive the Medal of Honor for his actions during the Second World War. His life has been subject to books, the documentary, The Conscientious Objector, and the 2016 film, Hacksaw Ridge. Doss was born in Virginia. He was raised devout in faith, in keeping the Sabbath, in nonviolence. He grew up during the Great Depression, which is what some say was our greatest generation. I won't argue the point. Before the outbreak of World War II, he was a joiner at a shipyard in Northport News, Virginia. Now, I don't know what a joiner is, but it must have been pretty important, because for his service there, he was offered a deferment from the draft, which he refused. He entered the service anyway. Because of his faith, he refused to kill an enemy soldier or carry a weapon into combat, for which he suffered great persecution during basic training and then infantry training. Ultimately, he was made a medic. And while serving with his platoon in 1944, in the Battle of Okinawa, he saved the lives of 50 to 100 wounded infantrymen atop an area known as I mentioned, Hacksaw Ridge. A little insight on Hacksaw Ridge was the face of a cliff that was 400 feet high. The only way to the battlefield was up a rope ladder to get to the battlefield. The only way off the battlefield was to come down that ladder, and the only way to get the wounded down was to lower them down with a makeshift pulley and a makeshift litter. So all those men that he saved came down from there. He was wounded 4 times, finally bad enough that he was evacuated on May 21st, 1945. And as I mentioned earlier, awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions at Hacksaw Ridge. Now that you know a little bit about Desmond Doss, and not being very good with names, I'll probably forget that once or twice today. The documentary that he did before he passed away was used when they made the movie in 2016. And the only reason I know about this gentleman again is my love for good movies. And I watched this movie for the first time a month ago. And because he did the documentary, we have to assume that the movie itself was very, very accurate. And it was a battle that was unbelievable. But through it all, when everybody else evacuated, he stayed on that ridge. And I remember the personal interview they did with Desmond Doss, and the one thing that he said that hit home very hard was after he lowered each individual wounded soldier, and that included two enemy soldiers as well. It didn't matter who they were. He hauled them out under heavy fire. The temptation to go down that ladder each and every time he lowered someone existed. And his prayer was simply, God, help me find one more. And he went back, and he kept going back. In doing so, he earned the respect of the men who once persecuted him, who now supported him, who gave him the strength to keep following them into combat and tending to the wounded, even up to the point where he himself could no longer serve. His final action on the battlefield was rolling off a litter to allow them to put someone more wounded on that same litter. Crawling off that litter to someone that was wounded in front of him. And then crawling 300 yards so that he could be found and taken off that ridge himself. And yet, the prayer that we remember is the one he said on TV, God, help me find just one more. Just one more. A man that was asking for strength, for guidance, and to have his faith maintained and strengthened. When we read today's gospel lesson, the way the gospels are broken up sometimes, I don't want to say they're misleading. They are done that way to lead us to certain conclusions and to think about things in certain ways. But today's gospel really can't be understood unless you read ahead of that, unless you read what comes before at the start of the chapter. Jesus is his ministry is coming to a close. He knows that he will soon be taken into custody, that he will suffer, and that he will die. And he's constantly preparing his disciples for a ministry that will be heavy, that will be hard. And one of the hardest things to do in that day and age, as it still is to this day, is to forgive. And he tells, where there is repentance, you must forgive. And if there is repentance seven times, you must forgive seven times. That this is the true power of the Spirit and of faith, is to look someone in the eye and say that I forgive you. And the disciples, whether afraid, whether intimidated by the great weight of this, they simply turn to their Lord and say, give us more faith. Lift up our faith. It's not boasting that we're asking for this. It's not out of arrogance or pride. We just don't know if we can do this. The example that Jesus gives in the mustard seed oftentimes is read and reflects back, and I have for years looked at it and said, how little my faith is, because it only takes something the size of a mustard seed to move a mulberry bush, and how little faith I must have. But yet the story isn't there to declare how little faith we have. It's to declare how much we can do with just a little faith, with just a little trust. These are the things that change the world. And it's done in such small ways, and Jesus is reassuring them that what faith they have is God-given, and it will be enough. It will be enough to win the day. It will be enough to pull you through. You will persevere. You will find a way to do it. So trust what you have. And lead with that. Live through it. And in doing so, look for that one more. Look for that one more. But then we have Paul and Timothy that's addressing Timothy. And Timothy's a lot like us. It's a lot like me, like you. Timothy, born into the faith, is feeling that weakness. He's feeling that doubt. He's wondering whether or not he has the strength to follow through. Paul reassures him that you do, that this is not a faith of cowardice. It is not a call of such. It is of power and love and self-discipline and forgiveness. And that through the laying on of hands, the support of one another, the support of Paul, you will come to that conclusion too, and it will be enough. It will be enough that you will persevere, that you will win the day. And that's exactly what we do for one another when we gather. We come here to listen, to pray, to worship, to hear the word, to share a meal, wherein we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, to know that what we're given will be enough, that we can trust it. We lay on hands with one another each and every time we gather, when we share the peace, when we look into people's eyes and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you." It is that peace we carry from here to challenge the day. And we lift one another up and hold one another up to know that it will be enough. And that living through the faith, this faith that we've been so graciously given, that we live also through the gospel, that in word and deed, we change lives and we change the world. It is the love of Christ that changes the world, and that love dwells in you. It is the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ that changes the world, and that forgiveness lies in all of us. And we need to trust it. We need to take it and carry the day. And like that young man that refused to take a life and yet saved so many, we need to wake each day and ask ourselves each day, "What one more thing can I do for you, Lord? What one person can I find?" Live through the faith you've been graciously given. Know that it will always be enough, and through which Christ will always win the day. Amen.